This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Welcome. This is the fourth part of Life in the Word, and tonight we're going to be looking at the prophetic books. And again, Chris and I are going to tag team, and you guys are going to get to do some work a little bit later in the evening as well. And as you know, we've been tracing the character of David through the scripture as a way of showing how the same person, the same ideas are represented in the different parts of the Bible. And so tonight is the final session in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the prophets before next time we come into the New Testament. So there are two ways, effectively, that the prophets refer to David. If you look at the references to David through the prophets, and again, an easy way to do that is to just use one of the use an online Bible website and search David, and it will churn out every verse that he's mentioned in. And there are two ways that they speak of David, and we're going to call these ways. They speak of the historic David, and that looks back to the historical figure of David, because all of the prophets, all of the writing prophets, write after the time of David. So David for them was a historical figure. And they hold him up as the standard for the other kings, the kings that are currently on the throne. Chris is going to talk about that in just a moment. But they also talk about David very much in a future way as well, and we'll call that the eschatological David. So eschatology, the things to come, okay, or the things of the end. And David is becomes analogous, or is at least very closely associated with the idea of the Messiah, or this great king who is going to come and basically put right all that is wrong with God's people. And when they begin to talk about this David, the prophets kind of go beyond the idea of somebody just doing a good job like David did. They go beyond the idea of just a king who is a good king, a king that is faithful to God. And they start to bring what we can generally see as much more supernatural elements coming into this king's reign and to the David that they talk about. And the interesting thing is with David is it's an illustration of the layered nature of prophecy. And one of the most helpful things to realize when you read the prophetic books of the Old Testament is that very often prophecy has more than one fulfillment. And there is usually a historic fulfillment. So what the prophets are saying is something that's going to happen in the future, often the near future, of the nation of Israel or Judah, wherever they're ministering. But then there is a larger, greater fulfillment that is going to be fulfilled in Christ. And Jesus himself says in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And so Jesus is actually making that claim for himself, that he is there to fulfill the prophets. So he's there to fulfill the requirements of the law, and he's there to fulfill the promises of the prophets. We know that the prophets themselves actually understood this, because the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, find this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He says, "Concerning this salvation, our salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. even angels long to look into these things. So Peter tells us that the prophets knew through their conversations with the Holy Spirit, they knew that what they were talking about was ultimately about a time beyond their own time. It was ultimately about a time when Jesus would come. So they spoke to their own time with a message from God, often a message of rebuke, often a message of correction. But they also spoke of a time to come, this kind of eschatological, the time of the kingdom, when the kingdom of God would come in something in a much fuller way, in a much more spiritual way than it was evidenced in the Old Testament kingdoms of Judah and Israel. So just as an example, just to round this kind of opening section off, turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Now, Jeremiah prophesies as the kingdom of Judah is coming under the control of the Babylonian Empire. And the exile into Babylon, which was part of God's judgment towards his people for their faithlessness, was not a sudden one-off event. It actually took place progressively. Babylon became more powerful, they began to make more demands, they began to take away some of the fighting men, some of the young men, some of the priests. They take away Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, for example. And Jeremiah observes this, and he continues to speak warning, and ultimately the Babylonians actually destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And so at this point in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, a number of exiles have already been taken. But I think I'm right in saying that the city hasn't fallen yet, and he's still in Jerusalem. And he is speaking then, and the following chapters kind of carry on with this idea. He's speaking of the time when God will bring the people out of exile and back into the land. Although he has to warn them a couple of chapters later that this is going to take 70 years. It's not something that's going to happen quickly. Just an example then of the layered nature of prophecy, because that's the historic context, and he's speaking to a people who are being taken into captivity, and he's speaking them a promise from God and a comfort from God that they will return to their land. That's the historic context. But as we read these verses, you will probably think it means something entirely different. Okay, so Jeremiah 23. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and will do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. So then, the days are coming, says the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of the countries where he had banished them. Then they will live in their own land." So when you read that, who do you think he's talking about? When you read that promise of this king who's going to be called the Lord, our righteous Saviour, who's good? Jesus, of course, because Jesus is always the right answer. Yeah. But that illustrates how he's actually prophesying something that's going to happen within a couple of generations, but he's also prophesying something that's going to happen in about 450, 500 years. And the one is going to represent the other. Yeah. And the bringing of God's people back from Babylon into the land is going to be indicative and is going to foreshadow and speak of the greater time when Jesus comes and brings his people out of all the world and saves them to himself. Okay, so it's a good example around the idea of David, of how David is going to come naturally and lead them back, but then David is also going to come supernaturally or eschatologically and be the final fulfillment of those prophetic words.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.